Welcome to Equine Wealth's Research Radio, brought to you by SSG Gloves, a monthly look at the latest cutting-edge equine research being done at OVC. Today we look at the problem of heaves, and what a serious one it is, especially for the equine athlete. The issue of recurrent airway obstruction is being closely examined by OVC's Dr. Dorothy Bienzel, whose specialty in lung function is trying to develop a better understanding of the problem and better identify means of prevention. That's coming up on Equine Wealth's Research Radio. SSG Gloves is also on the cutting edge. The SSG All-Weather is the most popular of all-weather gloves in the industry worldwide. Quality, durability, well, it wears like an iron and washes like a rag. Breathable, Aqua Suede Plus Palm gives you a very good grip on the lines, wet or dry. And the elasticized back gives a cool, comfortable fit. The SSG All-Weather. See your local SSG dealer. For more info, go to SSGRidingGloves.com. Dr. Bienzel, welcome to Research Radio. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Norm. Good morning.
You've been working on the constant effort to try and solve the riddle of what are commonly known as heaves, airway obstructions. And like any good researcher, you begin to narrow things down. What have you narrowed it down to?
Well, it's very hard to identify what causes heaves, because it's a difficult disease to reproduce. As you know, the disease occurs mainly in middle-aged to older animals. And what happens at that time is probably not reflective anymore to what the animals were exposed to 10 years ago. So, you know, in the ideal world, what we'd like to do is we'd like to take 100 horses or 1,000 and expose them to the same environment when they are young, and then see who experiences heaves, who gets heavy as they get older, and why it might that be. But since that's pretty well impossible, we have picked out some candidate proteins and genes that we think play a key role in the development of heaves, and we've looked at those and the functions. And in the course of those studies, we've identified that one, what we think is one of the key genes in horses, there are three copies of it, and two of these make proteins that function a little bit differently. And that's an unusual thing compared to other animals.
Now, we're talking about secretoglobins?
That's right, yes.
Okay, tell us about that.
So the horse has three copies of secretoglobin, and secretoglobin is also called clarocell secretory protein, and it's made by a certain population of cells in the bronchi in the lung. And it happens to be the predominant protein produced by cells in the same area where heaves cause most inflammation. So if we were to take a horse that has had heaves for a long time and ends up being euthanized, and we look in the lung, then most of the inflammation in the airways, as well as surrounding the airways and in the interstitial tissue of the lung, occurs in those areas where normally secretoglobin is produced. And secretoglobin fights inflammation. And so what we think is happens in older horses is that they have exhausted their ability to produce secretoglobin and to counter inflammation. So over many years, basically, they've overproduced and overproduced this protein to inhibit inflammation. And eventually, the balance swings the other way and heaves becomes a really prominent clinical feature. The airways are constricted. The horse produces a lot of mucus and coughs and is unable to move air well.
Now, this would have to be attributable on some level to an external force, if you will. Obviously, from what I know of my science, you know, inflammation is caused when a foreign body of some type is introduced into the host. So what would those exterior factors be? Am I right to assume that?
Yeah, I mean, horse people over really hundreds of years have known that moldy hay is what makes horses get heavy. And we just don't know how much moldy hay a horse needs to breathe and whether it's the same amount or whether some horses just need to breathe a little bit of moldy hay and get heavy and some need to breathe a lot of it and get heavy. We don't know that. But we do know that the components in moldy hay, and these are probably mold spores as well as bacterial component, as well as dust that carries the mold spores and the bacteria into the lung, they are the ones that are, you know, the cause of inflammation. And then some horses have an extremely strong inflammatory response, and some have a less strong inflammatory response. And so probably not all horses, do develop heaves.
Now, this would tend to make one think that if you could manage a horse's ability to fight off that inflammation at a younger age, as you have suggested, would it make sense then to try and underexpose younger horses to the kinds of moldy hay that will cause them to overproduce the agents within them that will fight this off and fight off the airwaves being restricted?
Absolutely. You know, the environment in which horses are raised matters a lot with respect to what kind of a chronic illness they develop. And so, you know, traditional horse people in many countries across the world have liked to raise their horses at a higher altitude, as much outdoors as possible, and that's an environment where there's very little mold. That's not an option we have in the northern climate. Much of the time we do need to shelter our horses from the cold and wind and rain and snow in the winter with indoor shelters and feed them hay that we've preserved. And so that's not always easy to keep free of mold.
Now, has your research led you to a place where you can say, yes, we think we have something, or we may be able to develop an antidote?
No, we haven't got a better treatment for heaves yet. You know, the treatment is, I mean, we're talking treatment, treating an illness that has been there for a long time. By the time a horse is coughing and is sneezing and has a lot of mucus coming out of its nose and has a heaves line, has to work very hard to exhale air, this disease has been there for years and years. And at that point, you know, we need to use standard anti-inflammatory medication and bronchodilation to treat the illness. And so really we ought to be working on prevention as much as possible. And treatment is what we try, and we can often make an animal return it to being a companion animal. But a horse with heaves very, very rarely ever returns to being a functional sports animal or essentially never a racing animal again.
More with the good doctor in just a moment. But first, have you ever heard of a digital glove? Well, the cutting-edge makers of SSG Gloves have, and they've designed a DigiGrip square groove technology model that's just that, a digital glove. It's the ultimate in feel, grip, breathability, and durability. A digital pattern gives you increased grip and wear, and it's also machine washable. The DigiGrip from SSG Gloves, www.ssggloves.com. You're also still fighting the good fight in finding ways to unmask EPO in the equine athlete, and this is something that goes to the integrity of the racing industry, of which I'm a part of, and I find this to be very important work. How's that progressing?
Yeah, as you know, I work with the Ontario Racing Commission in that regard, and the ORC is always looking for ways to detect and reduce the use of drugs in illicit drugs in racehorses. And EPO is probably the most widely known one, but probably not one of the really bad ones. So as you will know, EPO stimulates production of red blood cells in the bone marrow. It also has other effects that are probably also performance enhancing, in that it causes peripheral vasodilation, so it supplies more blood to the skeletal muscle and maybe allows an athlete to perform better for that reason, and it increases the oxygen carrying capacity. As best as my colleagues in the racing industry tell me, EPO is very widely used, and there are many, many synthetic forms of EPO available through the internet and from produced in many countries across the world. So to treat a horse with EPO is not difficult at all, and it's also not very expensive. But to detect these many different, slightly variable forms of EPO with very refined laboratory assays is very difficult and is a losing battle in many respects. And so we have taken the approach of looking at the blood picture in horses that are licensed to race, that are eligible to race, and to try and identify which horses have been treated with EPO by looking at how much hemoglobin they have in the blood. So how many red blood cells have they, and red blood cells are full of hemoglobin. And if an animal has a exceedingly high amount of hemoglobin in the blood, then it is, first of all, probably not fit to race. It's at risk of having sudden death from a hemorrhage in the brain or a blockage to blood supply in the heart, because the blood has become quite viscous and cannot be pushed through very small capillaries efficiently. So the horse is at risk of injury, and it's also an artificial situation. There is no natural cause for such a high amount of hemoglobin.
There's really no therapeutic benefit to it, is there?
No. The therapeutic use of EPO is in human medicine is restricted to people with chronic kidney failure who are anemic and to some cancer patients. But there is no therapeutic use for EPO in horses.
Well, keep up the good work in that regard. Doctor, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Continue with your good work at Equine Guelph and OVC.
Thank you. It's always nice to talk to you.
Thanks for joining us.